Hey, church family, welcome to Church News. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we are so glad that you chose to be with us at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Join us on Wednesday, August 13th, following our 7 p.m. service for our fun-filled annual ice cream social right outside behind the church. We'll be serving up free ice cream with tons of toppings so you can make your dream sundae. This will be a time to connect with friends and church family and enjoy a sweet treat. So bring your friends, your appetite, and we cannot wait to see you there.
Hey, church family, I want to invite you to something new we're doing this summer, and it's called 7 Days of Prayer. Similar to what we do in January at 21 Days of Prayer, we are going to dedicate a week's time to praying first in all we do. The reason for this is that everybody knows someone who is lost, who needs a Savior, someone we can use our faith for and pray and invite into the kingdom. So I want to encourage you, August 10th through the 16th, we are going to do 7 days of prayer. We will start at 6 a.m. in the morning and go to 7 a.m., which gives you the opportunity to come here before work and start your day by praying first. Just put it on your calendar. Any more details you need, you can head out to the Welcome Center. We would love to join with you in faith so lost people can be saved.
It's that time of year again. Operation Christmas Child is here, and this is your chance to be a part of something powerful. We are asking each family to fill up one box filled with toys, hygiene supplies, and school supplies. These are not just gifts, but these are a doorway to spreading the love and the good news of Jesus to kids all around the world and many for the very first time. And of course, you can fill up as many boxes as you desire, but we are asking each family that is able to fill at least one box. To buy a shoebox, you can head to the table in the lobby and we have them there just for $1. And if you're not up to filling a box, you can donate and we will use your donation to buy supplies for our church-wide packing party. You can drop off your already packed box anytime between now and November 9th in the lobby. Let's share the gospel one box at a time. And don't forget to join us on November 9th for our church-wide packing party.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind our small group, Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is a small group specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. This small group takes place on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the lobby. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. We've been traveling across America for the last 25 years doing seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We're coming to your church. God has a great plan for you and your family, and we're going to help you get there. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be a fun time. See you soon.
We want to invite you to Growth Track. Growth Track is our membership class that helps you learn about the ins and outs of Only Believe Church, helps you learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them to make a difference, and it gives you the perfect opportunity to become a member of Only Believe Church. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month right after church service, and there is lunch and childcare provided. So if you would like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can head out to the Welcome Center and get you signed up there. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
A simple invite card could change someone's life. Our invite cards make it super easy for you to invite someone who God leads you to come to church with you. So be sure to grab an invite card in the lobby or on the pews next to you and invite someone to church. Now, if you have any more questions or would like any more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts for the message today.
Everything today? Did anyone notice that? I know, it's like you didn't get to see my lovely face before. But this is our season of lots of vacations with the staff. Someone say amen. They deserve it. All right, we all deserve a vacation. And we have 3 staff members that have kids. And this is when they take their vacation every year. So we're kind of the one-armed busy paper hanger today. But I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it all done. Am I doing a good job? Thanks. I needed that attagirl this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to all of you who have come to worship with us today at Only Believe. It's nice to see some of your smiling faces. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen some frowning ones out there today too. But that's all right. We love you too. Can everybody practice smiling? Yeah, look, you know it makes the souls feel good when you smile, and it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. I'll just remind you of that when you're thinking about all of your energy you're wasting. All right, somebody say next Sunday. All right, next Sunday is a really special day for us at Only Believe because we are beginning 7 days of prayer. Now, hold on to your britches before you get all up there because it's not going to be like normal. Normally, on 21 days of prayer, we do 7 at night. Every single night, 6 at night till 7. We're doing morning for all of those of you that work and say, I can't be here in those evenings because I work. We are doing this from 6 in the morning till 7 in the morning. I know, sounds really early, but we're doing it to grab a different set of people that say we never get to pray as a church together because we're at work by 8 o'clock. So we're going to do our best to serve this for you, but we're doing something different in our prayer. All of you on the way out today are going to be given one of these cards. This is a card with 10 lines on it, and these 10 lines are for people that you know that do not know our Savior. And I'm asking that you write them down because for 7 days, we are going to be carrying these cards around with us and praying intentionally for these 10 people. Why? Number one, it's important for we as a church that we share the gospel with people. But we are praying the scriptures on the front of this card that help us pray for those people, tells you how to pray. It's so simple. You literally can pray these scriptures over these people. And then in the month of October, we are going to come together and we are going to create one service for all of these people that you've prayed and fasted for, and we're going to give you a really pretty invite card, and personally, you're going to invite all 10 of those people. Now you say, Pastor Nicole, why? Because all of us have been commissioned to the Great Commission, which is to go and win souls. It's not enough that Pastor Eric and Pastor Eric and Pastor Rick are in Uganda today doing our job for us. That's wonderful, and I'm so glad that we got to throw some money towards that and get them to win souls. However, that does not negate our responsibility as a church to do it. So what are we doing as a church? I'm empowering you to be able to do what God's called you to do. So you're going to do this. We're going to fast and pray for these people that God softens their hearts, that he mends bridges. Maybe they're offended at the church. They've been hurt in their heart because someone in the church frowned at them instead of smiled at them. Hear me out. It could be anything that makes people mad these days, right? And we're going to pull that out. We're going to deal with the spiritual resistance of what that is. And then we're going to let God do his work. And then we're going to invite them to church where you can count on every single Sunday, whoever's preaching is going to invite them to know our Savior. Amen. Go ahead. You can clap because that's exactly what this is going to do. So on your way out, you're getting this little card. Why? Because souls matter, and we are a church that cares about what matters to God's heart, and God cares about what's lost. He's really glad that all of you are found, but the last time I lost my keys, I was not thankful that my refrigerator was not lost. I was looking for my keys, and I was mad until I found my keys. I was frustrated. My mind was stuck on the keys. Where are they and why did I lose them? Where could I have put them? God's heart is concerned about that which is lost. He loves all you found people, but his heart breaks for those who are lost. Amen? Amen? All right. So today we're going to start our new series called The Church Defined. And I'm so excited because we're going to possibly debunk some theories in your life that you may have thought the church was. There's some ideologies that we've all been told about the church, and then we're also going to bring some clarity to what the church is, because I think often everyone just thinks it's a building. Everyone thinks the church is a building, but it's actually much more than that. The word church comes from a Greek word called ecclesia, and it means an assembly of people. an assembly of believers. I met a gentleman back at the doors today that as he came in, he said, Pastor Nicole, I want you to know we're back coming to church. And I said, well, that's amazing. And he said, you know what? When I said we were coming back, I was excited all morning. I need the body to unite with. What is that? He needs to come in here and worship with us. He needs to feel your faith released. And the Bible tells us that in these last days, Hebrews, actually, the 10th chapter, the 24th and 25th verse, tells us that you can't forsake, you can't forget the assembly of people. Because in the last days, you're going to need to encourage one another. You're going to need to love on one another. You're going to need to spur one another on and say, don't get lax in your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus because his return is close. I am so for digital media. I think it's an amazing gift that we have. But in no way, shape, or form should digital church replace our assembly of physical believers. You hear me? And that's done in a heart of love. It's also called a house of believers, a house. Remember, we are the house where Christ lives. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But this is a good one. We are the called out ones. The called out ones. But you know what? You're not called out from something if you're not called to something. You don't just get to be called out and go, oh, I'm the called one. No, you got to walk the life of the called one and walk towards what you're called for. Amen? So let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter today. As always, a lot of scriptures, and I'm done apologizing for it. Yeah. How about that? The church, the first mention of the word church is found in Matthew 16, 15, and 19, and we're going to read there today. This is what it says. It says, then he asked them, this is Jesus speaking, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John. Because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. He wasn't smart on his own. It was the wisdom of God. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, when we think of this, it proves to us that the church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not even an earthly thing, although that's what you think. It is a supernatural, spiritual entity that God gave birth to. He didn't only birth it, but he gave us the ability to live within it. And he tells us that no matter what happens in this life, the gates of hell, someone say the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. In other words, go ahead, devil. Try what you may. Do what you're going to do. But you cannot eradicate the church. Do you hear me? You could put all of these buildings, all of our walls, and drop them to the ground. And the heart of the church would still be within you and I. Because the church is built upon the rock, which was Christ. It's not Peter. He's saying that the Christ in you, Peter, is the rock upon which God will build his church. I am the sure foundation. I, as Jesus, the Christ, is the one that you will build upon, and I will be your sure foundation. Church, we are the church. Not the building or the four walls we're in. It was not only birthed by God through our faith in Christ Jesus, breathed on by the Holy Spirit and filled and empowered by him. The church is transformed every day by the Holy Spirit's work. In fact, I don't think we talk about it far enough, which is the day of Pentecost, which you can find in the Acts book, a whole book on the Acts of what has happened after Jesus goes. It says he breathed his life into 120 people in an upper room. These 120 people were filled with the evidence of a language that spoke in a foreign tongue, meaning that some were Nigerians, some may have been from Palestine, some may have been from Jerusalem itself, but they all had different dialects. And all of a sudden they began speaking in their unknown languages and they understood what one another was saying. So they're filled with this evidential language, but they're also empowered with boldness to preach the gospel like never before. If you've ever read the story of Peter, you know that Peter denies Christ just prior to him being filled with the boldness and the power, and then he preaches the gospel, and when he does, the church is added to 3,000 people added in one day. Amen. The church, not the building they were in, not a denomination. It said that the people that knew them called them Christians. That isn't a name God gave us. God gave us the disciple name. The world gave us the Christian name. It said when they saw them going about doing those things, they said it must be the Christians. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, and it was a spiritual entity. It says in Acts 2:42 that the church gave themselves to these four practices. It said that they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine. That's what we're reading right now. That's what we're doing. This is the word. And these apostles that went through the days of Jesus have wrote their accounts down. And now we're using them as our foundational truths. And these are the doctrines of the church. And that's what we're learning. And then it said they gave themselves to fellowship. Oh, I know that's a struggle for some of you. I'm going to be real. Sometimes I don't like to fellowship either. But sometimes I put on my happy face and take off my frowny face, and I don't fellowship because I need it. I fellowship because you need it. There's days that I need it and I don't even know that I need it. How many of you have received a Roz hug in this church? Anybody? Okay, I see a lot of hands. Okay, I'm going to be real with you. I'm not a hugger. I don't like anyone to touch me. Please don't touch me. I'm just going to be real. But there's something about Roz, when she puts her arms around me and she hugs me, she doesn't give me a 3-second hug. I promise you, I think my eyeballs are going to pop out of my head onto the ground because she squeezes me so hard. But you know what? She gave me the why behind the what. She said, do you know that it's proven that people that have physical touch and that are hugged and loved live longer than others? Yeah. And what she's saying to me is, I want you to live long, Pastor Nicole, because you've got so much on you. Let me hug you and let me bear it with you. And before I take a breath, it just releases off my life. And I don't know if she carries it away. I don't know if it falls to the ground. I just have a feeling that God's supernatural entity, the church, Roz is a part of and has a purpose in my life and in your life and in your life. I saw so many hands go up across this church. Do you want to know why? Because that's her purpose. And she's doing something to make a difference with what that purpose is in her life. I need her, even when I think I don't. That wasn't in my notes, but a little nugget. It says that they gave to fellowship and they were sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper. This is why our tables are down here every week. Some of you need to do the Lord's Supper more than what we do, which is every 6 weeks or every month, however we do it when we schedule it. But some of you have come from a very traditional background, and you think it's important that you receive the body of Christ every single week. That's communion, and that's special to you. We should do this together as a church. Fourth, prayer. They gave themselves to prayer. This is why we're a church that prays first. See, this is the early church model. God didn't put these models in the Bible for us to ignore. He put them in there so that you and I would thrive within the systems he has created for you and I. And believe it or not, there is a system. Let's turn to Galatians the third chapter. And we're going to go to 3:26 and 28. It says, For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember, if we believe and confess upon Jesus, we shall be saved. That's why we are believers of one body. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What does that tell you and I? There is no one more special than anyone else. And every parameter of division has been broke down, and you've all been made equal. Someone say, I'm equal. See, the world is searching for equality. But what they don't identify is that equality was wrought at the cross. Equality is yours and I's the second we accept Christ as our personal Savior. I'm no longer seen as the white girl from Botkins who weighs, well, we're not going to talk about that, who weighs a certain amount and makes a certain amount and talks a certain way. Oh, by the way, I'm also not known for the sex that I am. Because in God's eyes, He doesn't care if I'm a male or a female. He doesn't care if I'm poor or if I'm rich. He doesn't care if I'm 180 pounds versus 142-ish or 44-ish right now. No matter what your driver's license says, you should not lie. Thou shalt not lie. Even though they only see you from here up. Yeah, that police officer knows when he pulls you over. He's like, uh-huh. And he's judging you all over the place. So don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Why? Because God's telling you that when you come into my family, I erase all those lines of every division that the world has put up on you. And when you accept me, you become my sons and daughters. And in order to be a part of that family, I'm just going to be real with you. We have to see people the way that God sees people. Let's go to Revelation. If you don't believe me, this is going to follow you through the Bible. Go to the book of Revelation in the 7th chapter. Now, this is talking about in the end, after the tribulation, there's been a resurrection and they're coming up to the throne. And this is what he says in the 9th verse. After I saw a vast crowd, too great to count. If you don't like groups of large people, you're not going to do well in heaven. I'm just letting you know. And some of those people are me. I kind of like a smaller crowd, but that's all right. God knows what I need more than I know. From every nation, that means the nations that you don't like, because America has pit you against them, the nations that are at war right now, the nations that have the terrorists in them, you have to love those nations, because I guarantee you, one of those terrorists has given his life to Christ and will be in heaven one day. I'm telling you straight up. We have no clue who's going to be there. And when you love every tribe, every nation and tribe and people and language, how many of you have made a snide comment about your doctor that you can't understand? Oh, don't even. I have. I'm like, I can't even go to that doctor. I don't even know what he's saying. You come this night, you should learn some English. Did God just say every language? Every language. Every language. Standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes. Guess what that means? They made it. They made it. They're there with you and with me if we make it. And if we don't think good, we're not going to make it. Standing before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar. Salvation comes from the God who sits on our throne, sits on the throne, and from the Lamb. every tribe and every nation. And whether we like it or not, we are all made equals. And there is a local church. We are the local body right now. We are local. Believe it or not, there's people worshiping in this town that really do have Christ in their heart, and they are living the life they know to live for Jesus to the best of their ability right now. And just because they don't go to Only Believe does not make them a gang war. You are not allowed to fight with other churches. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We're going to agree about what we're going to agree, and we're going to disagree about what we don't agree on. By the way, you are Pentecostal by nature, but you do not have to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you that so I can stop some of your fights straight up. Stop fighting about the non-essentials of Christianity. The essentials of Christianity are: you have sin in your life. We all need Jesus. We need him to wash us and cleanse us of our sin. And then we're going to walk out our own salvation in fear and trembling. And if you're afraid of what you're doing, you should stop doing it. And if you're not, then don't let anyone else condemn you based on what you're doing. Go to the Word and find out the truth. But everyone doesn't need a Holy Spirit walking around and telling them what's right and wrong on Facebook, in email, passing out pamphlets. Oh, Lord Jesus, someone dropped me a CD in my mailbox. It's against the law. And dropped me a CD to tell me what we were preaching was falsity. I'm not kidding. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter, the 22nd verse. I don't mean to be hard on you, but I'm telling you, church, we better get ourselves in line and understand what God is expecting of you and I. Least we be the ones that are not in the right place on judgment day. I want to be in the right place. Amen? All right, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Now listen, why is it a benefit to you and I that Jesus is the one that's over this? Because Jesus is the leader of all leaders. He's the perfect Son of God. There's no error in him. See, if I was the leader of God's all in all church, it would be a mess. But because he's the head of our church and he's placed us as the head of this local body underneath his authority, that's what makes it work. If there was no head to us, we would be a mess. Why? Because I'm imperfect. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. And not every single day am I going to be perfect. I'm trying. I'm working towards that fullness of who Christ is. And I'm laying myself on the cross every day saying, God, make me better that I can lead your people. But if he wasn't present, this would be a disaster. I am made strong when he is weak. Why do you need him? Because in Christ, now you're able to become who you need to be. If it wasn't Christ that was over you, where would your power be? Who would you be if in your weakness there was no one to make you strong? Who would wipe away our sins? Who would wash us clean? And who would transform us into this new image and this new creation that is no longer bound by sin, is no longer bound by condemnation, no longer sits in the spirit of grief? That's who Jesus is to you and I. And I live because of Christ in me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. This is the heart of our context. A lot of you know this, but I'm going to try to bring out some different parts today. Because it said that we are the body of Christ. And that's figuratively speaking, but it's also truth in the sense that when we're raptured, the head of the church comes and the body meets Jesus. But let's read the 12th chapter, the 12th verse. And we're going to read a little bit because I think it's important you get it. Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so is it with Christ. For we all of us believers, are baptized by one Spirit, and we come as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. What does that mean? In gist, all of you are a body part. Pick any part. What do you want to be? I don't care. You want to be a toe? You want to be a toenail? You want to be a hair on a toe? You want to be a hair on a nose? You want to be an eye? You want to be a heart? Here's the problem. A lot of us don't get to be what we think we are. Did you hear me? As in Ashley's family, this is what she says to her kids. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. In God's kingdom, He made you and designed you, and you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. You don't get to choose what you are. God already chose who you are, and He gifted you with spiritual giftings and spiritual things that you add to the body of Christ as a whole. I'm going to be real with you. Roz is one of the most non-emotional women I've ever met, and at one time I called her a Vulcan. How many of you watch Star Trek? Roz doesn't have many emotions going on in there. And if she does, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes in the old Roz world, you didn't want to be around when Roz had the emotion that came up. But Roz is being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Roz isn't that angry person anymore. She's this person that wants to give hugs. Who did that work? Except the Holy Spirit in her, because it's a gifting that He's gifted her with in her personality that she didn't even know she had until she surrendered her life to Christ and He began to transform her into what He said she's going to be. I bet if Roz got to choose who she was going to be, it wouldn't be a hugger. If you know her emotional state, she would have much rather been the one to punch someone when it was bad. You see, and I'm having some women confer with her. They're raising their hands because they're like, yes, that is me. You don't get to choose what you are, but you are still a part of the body. And if you don't add yourself to the body because you can't get past who you are, then the body will not work according to the way God designed it. In case we have forgotten, at birth and conception, God chooses your design. And your design equals your destiny. Whatever you're designed for, you like what you like because God's got a plan for that in your life. You dislike what you dislike because He's got a plan for you to resist that part in life. People that are really in uproar about abortion. There are people that are more aggressive about abortion than I am. And I'm all about abortion, but my heart leans towards the girl that has had the abortion. And other people are like, no, I want to fight for those babies to live. And I understand that. But the reason you want to fight for that is because God designed you for that. It doesn't make my design wrong. It makes my design different. And the difference of the two means we live for babies and we live for the one that made the choice to have the abortion and now needs to choose to live because she wants to kill herself for what she's done. Doesn't make either wrong, but it means that the body's not working effectively if we don't have both. So love who you are and embrace it. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. In other words, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed. Did you hear that? Not your pastor. Your parents didn't get to choose from a checklist. God has placed parts in the body, every one of them, not some. Everyone that's connected to the body, God has placed you the way you are for a reason in the place you are, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. In a nutshell, you don't get to choose who you are, and you don't get to be disconnected from the body because you don't like what you're asked to do by God. I know, that's hurting some of you. 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, which are under my clothes, are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that are lacking, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it, and if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. And God has placed in the church first of apostles, second prophets, third teachers, the miracles and the gifts of healing and helping of guidance, and of all of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Church, you and I are birthed into God's church, and we are connected one with another. If I was to cut my arm off right now, my hand, just right here, and I was to lay it on this stage and walk away, the body would continue. That hand would die. See, here's what some of us want to do. We want Christ, but we don't want the body. You want to know why? Because you're hard to work with. You're hard to love. Just like I'm hard to love. Like you're Frederick's looking at me right now. Pastor Nicole, I've loved you better than this day right here. I get it. There are days I'm easier to love than others. But people get messy. Life gets messy when you work with people. But God is requiring us to work with each other. Why? Because he knows it's going to develop our love. See, you don't realize what it is when Christ forgives you. You turn around and you walk away and you never more remember that moment. But when I come up to you and I slap you in the face and I've got no reason for slapping you, and you're like, Pastor Nicole, you're going to have a hard time forgiving me. You don't understand why. You don't understand the placement underneath it. You don't understand why when someone lashes out on you on a Sunday, that their life is falling apart behind the scenes. All you see is that they lashed out at you and you're struggling to forgive them. But God knows that the more we have to work with each other, I just call it a big rock tumbler. God takes all these Christians, he throws them inside of a rock tumbler. You got all these sharp edges. You got a whole bunch of bad places and he just keeps turning it. Yep, and I keep running into John week after week after week, and John's like, Pastor Nicole, meh, 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 meh. And I'm like, well, you know what? You said this to me, meh, 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 meh. No, John and I aren't fighting. I'm not saying that. But what is that? It's a representation of how we are every week, and we keep tumbling around, and we keep tumbling around and taking off the rough edges, and before you know it, those rocks aren't hurting each other anymore. Those rocks are smooth on all the edges, and they understand what love really is. Looks like. Why? Because we've had to love each other. We've had to give for one another. We've had to push another one to the front and I'll stand in the back. I've had to want better for you than I want for myself. I've had to be tired and not want to receive a text message, and yet I respond because I love you and I want you to be discipled and I want you to succeed. Even though I need physical sleep. Do you see what I'm saying? All of you give in these areas because you are the body. But if that hand isn't connected to the body, it's gonna die. Some of you wanna come and partake of Sunday morning, but you don't wanna connect yourself to the friction of what it takes to make the body work smooth. So you don't volunteer. I'm preaching for a reason. Hear me out. I'm not condemning you because you don't volunteer. I'm condemning, hear me out, I'm convicting your heart to get you to understand why you need the body. If not, you're like a hand on the ground with no life source, no strength. And when that hand is hurt, there's no one to pull it close so that it cannot stop hurting. There's no one to guide it with a splint. What do they do when you break your arm? They pull it close to the body and they tie it up tight. Why? Because it can't operate on its own. You don't see the other arm hitting this broken arm, trying to stab it when it's down. It pulls it close. It protects it. It keeps it quiet. It walks around things differently because it loves what's broke. And it wants to see it healed and mended and fixed. And that happens in relationships. It happens in fellowship. It happens showing up at 9 o'clock in the morning, joining your dream team. It happens because the body is effectively working together as one. The reason he gave us pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and apostles is because there's an equipping in you and I's hearts that's happening. It's not that I chose to be this. I didn't want to be a talking head. That's what I feel like I am sometimes. I don't want to be this. You know what? I would have much rather sat in that seat and let someone talk to me and just tell me what to do and let me do it. But you know what? Chances are the ones that don't want to do that stuff, they're the ones that get called to do it. You ever notice the ones that want to be rich never get money? But the ones that don't do? And you think, oh my gosh, if I could just get that money. No. Why? Because God knows what your disposition is about money, and that's why you're not getting it. Because he knows it's going to drive you further from his call than bring you closer to it. God must have known something about me, that sitting in your seat, I was not going to fulfill my greatest purpose in my life. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make the person that doesn't want to talk to people, talk to them. I'm going to make the person that don't want them to hug her, I'm going to let people hug her. Yeah, yeah. And all this type, the person that thinks she doesn't need relationships, I'm going to give her 650 of them. God has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? He knows what I need. And it's about his will and not mine. And that's great today because I feel like being surrendered. But come tomorrow, that might not be how I feel. And I have to remember that the church is a spiritual entity. And that I add to you, and you add to me. And together, we make Christ's body. It's not about these walls. It's not about only believe and no more. It's about the local church. It's about a global church. Eric and Rick in Uganda right now, what are they doing? Building the national, international church and adding souls to this place. God's place. Stand to your feet, church, this morning. Next week, we're going to get into the purpose of the church. And I'm going to talk to you about the doctrine of why we exist and what we're meant to hold the line on. You know, Timothy was a son of the faith of Paul. And as he spoke to him, he began telling Timothy, he was a very young pastor, and he began to tell him how to work within the church and how to lead it and how to guide it and what their purpose was. We're going to do that next week, and we're going to learn. But what's important today is that you know is that this is something God birthed. Man didn't birth the church. God did. And he did it because we needed it. Not because he needed it. We needed it. If everyone would, just lift up your hands today. We just want to give God a moment in this house. Father, we just thank you. Just begin to thank him. Just begin to say thank you, Lord. Just lift up your language and just give him thanks today. Father, we just worship you, God. We just make our praise is known to you this morning. Father, we're so grateful for the cross. We're grateful for the church. We're grateful for each other. Father, we just lift up our voices and begin to magnify your name, Lord. We say thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for what you've done. And you birthed this church, God. You've birthed Christ in us, the Holy Spirit transforming us into this new place. Father, we just worship you today. He's worthy of it all today, church. Oh, Father, we just say that you are worthy and we thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. That thing you've been hanging on to this morning. I just want you to say, Lord, you're worthy of it all in the midst of that situation. I still can't get this out of my heart. Some of you are in a cave fighting for light. You know, in your darkest hour, you wouldn't be able to see the light if there wasn't a darkness. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. God's faithful in every single one of your situations. Just if you'll lift it to him this morning, I feel he's doing a work. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you came the church. From you came our delivery. Father, we thank you for victory, God. That you play in your car all week until you lift it up and let it go. Lift it up and let it go and let God take it. Now, if you're here in this house today, the church defined means that your sins can be forgiven. The church defined means that Jesus was given by God to all of us sacrifice to wash away your sins, all of your shortcomings, all of your failures, all of your mean-spiritedness, all of your wrongdoings. Jesus says, I'll pay the ransom for those people. They don't deserve it, but I'll do it, God. I'll go to the cross and you can take my blood instead of theirs. I know that it's got to be paid for. Let me give my life for all of them. And Jesus came and he did it for you and I. If you're here today and you want to be forgiven of your sins, you want to be washed white as snow, and you want to put on the robe of white and your old creation go away and your new creation step forward, and be connected to the body of Christ, then this calls for you. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm just asking that you would raise your hand this morning. Raise your hand if you're in the house today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I want to be a part of this body. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. Is there anybody here? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else in this house that would say, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior this morning? Church, the greatest day of my life was when I gave my life to Christ at 5 years old, where the gospel was shared with me. And from that day forth, I began to live my life for Christ, purposed according to Him. I've not always been perfect, but because He is, I am. Because He did, I can. Anyone else in the house today that says, Jesus, I want you? Anyone else? Okay, someone's getting with this young man. We're gonna just pray. I'm gonna do a mass prayer this morning. And if you need to say this prayer with us, then I wanna meet with you after church and I want you to tell me you gave your life to Christ. Say, Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. God, I'm a sinner and I give my life to you today. I ask you to wash me free of all of my sin. In your son Jesus, that he died for me and that I now live because of him, that he died and rose again 3 days later so that I could live. Now, devil, you can't have me. I am now the Lord's. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Give God praise this morning in this house, church. Now, one last announcement. If you are here for Growth Track today, I'm going to be meeting you in room 306, where we have lunch provided for you and childcare, because I know I'm going to get you on your destiny and your purpose in this church and get you connected to the body of Christ that way. But if you have children, I'm telling you, your children have already beat you to that water park that's out there in that driveway, and you best run to catch them. And if you've got grandchildren, you better run even faster, because that means you're older. Let's pray you out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for your glorious church, and we thank you that we get to be a part of your body. God, let us honor you with our life. Let us honor you with our words and our deeds and our thoughts. Search us, O God. Know us on the inside and fix anything in us, God, that would not be pleasing to you. Father, bring someone into our path this week that we could share Jesus with, that we could invite them to church, that your work and your will would be done in these last days. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Greet someone on your way out, even if you don't want to. And there's prayer down here at the altar if you need it.